We're live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sean. Welcome back to Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. It is episode number 42, February 3rd, 2017 here. We're glad you joined us today, talking all about the WWE Royal Rumble number 29, Fallout. What did you think of it? What did we think of it? We're going to let you know here in just a bit. Also here today, WWE news and rumors, Elimination Chamber, a little bit of talk building up to that. All that here live today on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. Now, live from the home of the 2016 NBA champions. Shout out. Cleveland, Ohio. It's the host of the show, Big T.
We're back. It's February 2nd, 2017, and man, it's going to be good.
Did I say the third?
Yeah. I thought you said the second.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you did.
All right.
But anyway, we're here. We are ready to go. It's going to be fun. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, as Sean mentioned, and, you know, it's going to be a hell of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it and seeing what we got. Now, one thing I thought you did say was the 29th Royal Rumble, and that was 30.
No. On the commercial.
Or did you say January 29th?
No. Listen to this. We were wrong on last week's show. They said on the commercial for next year's Royal Rumble. They said on the on the commercial for next year's Royal Rumble in Philly. They said that that's the 30th anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. WWE in the Alamo Dome, and we both said last week that it was 30th anniversary, and now they're saying that that's 30, but the thing is where it can't be is that the Royal Rumble started in 88, so the WWE is all screwed up. So if you think about it, 1988, that's 1, 2, 3, Royal Rumble 3 would have been in 94, 91.
Was there a year they skipped?
No, they've done every year, so that would be the 31st Royal Rumble.
Yeah, because if you go back and watch, you know how they have that Philadelphia commercial for next year? Michael Cole said it'll be the 30th anniversary of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're putting that up because that is totally false.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they mean, like, you know, the 30 years. It's been 30 full years.
Yeah, that's what I think. Because, yeah, now that's true. 2018 and 1988, that'll be 30 full years, but it's going to be the 31st Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird because when I was watching that commercial, Michael Cole was like, the 30th anniversary of the Royal Rumble next year in Philadelphia. And I'm like, oh, shit. We said 29th.
Yeah, trust me. We weren't wrong last week. They're just bouncing back and forth and doing all kinds of stupid stuff with their advertisement and mixing people up.
Oh, yeah. You think you're going to – well, I hope I get to go out to the Royal Rumble next year. I definitely want to, but – who knows, maybe you guys will get your way out to the city of brotherly love.
Yeah, if Wags ends up going out there, then
road trip.
I might end up going, yeah. Because I know Wags was talking about it, possibly.
Now, would you stay for, like, the whole – would you just go to one show, you think, or would you go the whole weekend?
I would – we were thinking about just doing, like, TakeOver and Royal Rumble, but it depends.
Yeah, because they're having Raw and SmackDown there, too.
Yep.
It's pretty crazy.
So, I mean,
Royal Rumble's getting the WrestleMania treatment.
Yeah, and so is SummerSlam, and so is Survivor Series, like Survivor Series, the whole weekend was in Toronto, SummerSlam, the whole weekend's in Brooklyn, Rumble, the whole weekend's in San Antonio, and WrestleMania, the whole weekend's in Orlando. It's like, the big four now are getting equal treatments of one another.
Yeah, the only real difference with WrestleMania is the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, pretty much, and the only other difference besides the Hall of Fame is Access and WrestleCon.
Well, they even do Access at the other three.
At SummerSlam, I know they do. One thing I haven't been able to confirm is if they do Access at the Rumble or Survivor Series.
Oh, I'm sure they have some sort of meet and greets available.
I mean, I think they should, especially if they're doing full weekends of it, because, you know, you need to accommodate all the fans that are going to be going in there from all over the world.
So, yesterday, you know, was my first day at Planet Fitness. I just, you know, signed up this week, and there was this kid in there who was, you know, he was overweight and, you know, working out, trying to, you know, get healthy. And he had a Finn Balor t-shirt on. So I went up to him, and I'm like, you know, I'm chatting with him, and I'm like, so you're a Finn Balor fan? And he's like, yeah, I am. He's the reason I'm, you know, wanting to get in shape and better. And I know, you know, Big T, you're on the same path as that. I'm sure wrestlers motivate you too.
Oh yeah.
And so all in all, he was ending up telling me that how disappointed he was with the Royal Rumble. And of course, Finn Balor being his favorite, he had hoped Finn Balor returned, and we were talking how, you know, no one really knows when he's going to return. But I just wanted to start off by saying that because it's like, you know, I got to start off by saying how disappointing the Royal Rumble was to me. All in all.
Yeah, the Royal Rumble is, or was, I should say, a disappointing show at the end of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was pretty predictable too from, you know, how I called the show to happen. Actually, I think I predicted every single match on the main card correctly.
I actually
did accept the Royal Rumble pick. That's the only thing I got wrong at the end of the day. As far as all the matches, I got every single one correct. And, you know, if you really look at it, women's title match, I think Bayley and Charlotte pretty much stunk up the place. I really think they did. There was nothing intriguing about it. I feel that Bayley was extremely watered down compared to what Bayley used to be. I mean, my God, it was just, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. So, I mean, to start off that way, then you go to a Universal title match. Now, I will say the Universal title match was surprisingly very good.
Yeah, that, you know, remember I said that in the show last week, that that had potential.
Yeah, like that was the one that really pulled it out that I was surprised at. I'm like, wow, you know what? These guys really, they really made something happen here. And compared to what they've done for the past, what, 5-6 months now, they really made it happen at the Royal Rumble and they made it good. I mean, all in all though, we knew Strowman was going to come out. I mean, I think all of us seen that coming a mile away, the end result of the match. And unfortunately, you know, it happened. And, you know, then you move on from that to, what, the Cruiserweight Championship matchup. You know, with Neville winning was the best decision they made the whole damn night, having Neville get that win because he deserved it. I mean, nobody's doing better work than him right now in the Cruiserweight division. I mean, the guy is golden.
Yeah.
As far as pre-show matches, because I forgot to start it off with this, that Six Diva tag team match for SmackDown with Naomi pinning Alexa Bliss. you know, was Naomi, Nikki Bella, and Becky Lynch against Mickie James, Alexa Bliss, and Natalya. And you had Naomi pin Alexa Bliss. First of all, nobody should be pinning the champion. There should be number one contenders matches and number one contenders made that way. There should not be, you know, someone like Naomi just pinning Alexa Bliss and automatically, oh, you get a title shot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that got me off on a bad foot. Then the tag title match I thought was a complete fucking joke. I mean, you have Sheamus and Cesaro beat this dominant 483-day reign of the New Day, and then they can't beat the biggest fucking stiffs or chumps on the whole tag team roster of Gallows and Anderson? I mean, if Gallows and Anderson would have won it maybe 7 months ago, you know, then I could have bought them as more credible. But after all the times that they've lost, who they've lost to, and where the characters are at now, I mean, really, their characters are going nowhere. They're about as fucking exciting as a piece of cardboard, and then they win the tag team titles. I don't understand it. And Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks was a complete fucking disaster. They had fucking Shamu beat Sasha, which there was no reason why that should happen. I mean, that's just sickening. It's all sickening. And then going back to the main card after the Cruiserweight title, we had the WWE Championship match, which was honestly the best match of the night. AJ Styles, John Cena. How much better can you get? Not much.
No.
I mean, that was a damn near perfect match. And Cena becoming 16-time world champ? I'm done with it. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. Now Cena's gonna break that record.
Yeah, it sucks though that he has to lose something in order to get something.
Yeah. You know, it's like now he's got to lose 16 so we can all see him on that chase for 17, the record breaker. I see what you mean by that. And yeah, it does suck. It's like you win, but it's like, oh, shit, I got to lose again to actually make this happen.
Well, I'm wondering, though. I mean, damn, it's been, what, 2 years almost since Cena's last title and maybe even 3 years?
Let's see, last time Cena held the title was 2014. SummerSlam 2014 is when Lesnar won it from him.
Yeah, so going on 3 years.
I mean, yeah, about good 2.5 years for sure.
Are they really going to build the storyline with Cena now after all that time off, or?
I really honestly think that Cena's gonna lose going forward, probably to Bray Wyatt. I don't see WWE being so stupid to book Randy Orton versus John Cena at WrestleMania. I just don't.
Now think about what you just said.
What, if they would really be that stupid?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know they're stupid, but I'm hoping they wouldn't be that fucking stupid. Let's put it that way, I guess. That's the best way to put it, because I mean, at least I hope. I mean, for God's sakes. If they're really that stupid, man, then I don't know what to say.
I really think, like, WWE is in this strange loop of purposely not giving fans what they want. And I almost think, like, John Cena's going to fall victim to that.
Yeah, and you know what the whole thing is? If they would have John Cena, like, versus a Samoa Joe at WrestleMania, that's what everybody wants. That's a match that, a dream match that everybody's been talking about. But what do? They put Samoa Joe on Raw. It's like, yeah, you know, honestly, why does Raw need Samoa Joe? I really haven't been able to figure anything out because Raw's the one that was overloaded and got all this stuff in the draft, and then, you know, here comes a supreme talent like Samoa Joe. Like, I'm telling you, man, years down the line, give it time, he is going to be, like, the main destroyer. He will be destroying guys like Brock Lesnar. He'll be destroying guys like Goldberg. He's going to be the new beast in town. Let's see. We got Reddick is here. He says hello, and he says that arena was huge this year for the Royal Rumble. Looked bigger than a few Mania venues, which, yeah, it did look huge. And,
yeah.
What I got to say to Redicus is the Alamo Dome is definitely a big place. As far as bigger than some Mania venues, it was probably bigger than, like,
MSG.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden or, like, Safeco Field, because I think Safeco Field only held about 49,000 and it's held 52. So, I mean, it's bigger than a couple of them, just not many. But I definitely see where you're coming from on that. But as far as jumping back on the train to the Royal Rumble, we had the Royal Rumble match itself. And what can I say about it? The match was good probably through the first 20 numbers. Then when you go from 20 on, it's like you automatically just felt this doom starting to overcome you. It really just started to overcome you. Next thing you know, Lesnar came in, cleaned house. Goldberg came in, they had him eliminate Lesnar again and they just completely destroyed Lesnar. That's all they did in the process of this. I don't think I can ever take Brock Lesnar seriously ever again after this. After getting squashed again by a guy that's on AARP, a part of the AARP club, and you can just tell, man, Goldberg out there, he doesn't look good in the ring. The guy looks awful. When I got to see him trying to do a beatdown on all these guys, like, I could even tell when Baron Corbin ran into Goldberg that he ran and he fell backwards without Goldberg even doing anything. Goldberg didn't do anything to stand there like a brick wall and, oh, Baron Corbin's gonna bounce off me. Baron Corbin did all of it himself. Goldberg he looks like an old shell of himself, just desperately trying to hang on.
Now, I can understand that, but at the same time, you see Goldberg.
Which I love Goldberg, but, you know, I gotta critique him as I see it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but like, you know, he's very active in martial arts.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's something that I would try to incorporate that into his style more.
Yeah.
Maybe have him throw a kick at somebody. Maybe have him, you know, do something else, but like try to do clotheslines or spears and jackhammers. It's like, you know, just something isn't looking right with it, especially when you got a ring full of all this supreme talent and Goldberg just starts feasting on all of them. It's just, it doesn't look right. And then you got Taker that comes in, tries to go after Goldberg. You know, Corbin and Wyatt interfere to break it up. Next thing you know, Taker cleans house. He eliminates Goldberg. Then, the only fucking guy to have ever done this, because Royal Rumble tradition is, you're in a title match.
Hold on, real quick.
Alright.
Before you get into that, I just want to say how freaking pointless it was to have Wyatt and Corbin, you know, go after Undertaker and Goldberg. Like, just from pure logic standpoint, Wyatt and Corbin should have stood back and let them two beat the hell out of each other.
That yeah, I mean, really.
That was a pure moment of F you to the fans, saying, you're never going to see that. Don't get your hopes up. We don't like you.
Exactly. That's exactly what they did, because
there was no logic in doing that.
Plus, if the Royal Rumble was real, if there was any logic to it, or if they wanted to make it real, if I'm in the Royal Rumble, you really think I'm gonna want to get in the face of Undertaker or Goldberg? No, I'm gonna watch those guys beat the living shit out of each other and then eliminate one another.
Yeah.
I don't want to get near them. And yeah, it's awful. I mean, some of the things they do, they just don't think. They don't think.
No.
And I can't believe it. And then you go from that, Undertaker eliminates Goldberg, and like I said, the only man to ever have a title match, and let alone be in the Royal Rumble match, like even come out at number one, but let alone have the balls on them to make this man number 30, Roman Reigns, when he did nothing for it. Save those, because those are for my VHS tape. I don't know how that ended up in there. It shouldn't even ended up in there. Because that's an important old case. But,
I'm going to mute real quick while you're talking about this. I got to wash up.
Okay. But Roman Reigns gets a number 30 in the Royal Rumble. Vince McMahon and the WWE really had the fucking balls to make Roman Reigns number 30. That was basically just spitting it back in the fans' face in one moment. Fuck the Royal Rumble tradition. We don't give a fuck about anything that the Royal Rumble stood for. Why should we care? We're just gonna break that tradition right now. We're gonna put Roman Reigns in the Rumble. Better yet, why not? Why not make it where Roman Reigns is number 30 in the Royal Rumble? Then you have him go in there and stand toe-to-toe and trade blows with The Undertaker. And, you know, it really goes to show you, because if WWE really wanted The Undertaker and Goldberg to happen, they would have let them trade blows. And it goes to show you that they really want Roman Reigns and The Undertaker to happen, because they're out there trading blows. You know, fans are fucking booing with every strike that Roman Reigns is throwing. Just booing him out of the building. Then you go on maybe a few minutes later in the match, and what do? They do the ultimate fucking worst thing that they can do. And they have Roman Reigns eliminate The Undertaker. I was fucking speechless. Absolutely speechless. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? I mean, really. It was absolutely ridiculous what they did. Roman Reigns eliminate The Undertaker, then make it to have the audacity for Roman Reigns to look at The Undertaker and tell him this is my yard now? Who the fuck does he think he is?
Wow.
And who the fuck does Vince McMahon think he is? I mean, Roman Reigns is fucking sucking Vince's dick so hard already. I mean, there's no other way I can put it. I mean, this is unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Well, and then after all that, we had it come down to Randy Orton and Roman Reigns. And, you know, Roman must not be sucking good enough, because Randy Orton got the win.
Yeah, you know what? Roman's probably missing that little something extra, but Randy Orton, you know, he, obviously everybody was probably the biggest fucking Randy Orton fan that night when the Rumble ended. You know, it's like part of me, I there was part of me, like, don't get me wrong. Me, I was rooting for Randy Orton at that point. But honestly, there was part of me saying, I want to see Roman Reigns win. Just to see if WWE is that stupid and watch the Royal Rumble completely fucking implode on everybody.
At that point, I was hoping a fucking meteor hit San Antonio. When it was those two.
Yeah, I mean, because honestly, and the weirdest part is the report that came out the day before about Orton winning was the correct report. Go figure.
Where was that?
I forgot what site I saw it on, man, but it was, I don't know if it was Wrestling Inc., but it was like a day before the Rumble on the Saturday. And
I doubt it was on Wrestling Inc. because they don't really do leaked rumors about who's going to win. Wrestling Inc.'s kind of like in the WWE's pocket. They just do fluff stories about
it. Could have been Inquisitor or Sportskeeda.
Yeah, probably.
But it's like I read this on Saturday and they're like, the Royal Rumble match decision is set in stone. Randy Orton's gonna win the match. It's been decided, and I'm like, why the fuck would you want Randy Orton? Randy Orton? You're telling me that they couldn't give it to Chris Jericho? Really think about this logically, and this really goes to show you that you could work hard in the WWE and it doesn't mean a fucking thing. You got a guy like Chris Jericho, who's been working his fucking ass off and doing some of the best work in his entire career. He gets nothing, but then you got a guy like Randy Orton, who's been fucking losing to everybody under the sun, getting beat by American Alpha cleanly, almost getting beat by Luke Harper, and this guy wins the Royal Rumble? Are you fucking serious? I mean, am I wrong?
Nope.
I mean, am I really wrong?
That was the biggest disappointment in a long time. Since he won the Royal Rumble, that's the biggest disappointment for me since Batista won.
Yeah, Batista won his in 2014, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I should know I was there. Plus, that was Punk's last night.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, though, honestly, Sean, with that Royal Rumble, everybody knew it. Everybody saw it coming.
No, everyone thought Daniel Bryan was going to win.
Fans wanted him to win, but I remember the reports back in the day because it was right before I started my show. And all the reports were saying Batista was winning. McMahon wants Batista versus Randy Orton. So at least everything that I read, I knew it was coming. And when I went in there with Anthony in Carrington and we were at the Rumble, we were even all saying, this is pointless. Batista's winning. It's all over the internet. That it's finalized, that McMahon wants Batista versus Randy Orton, and we were just all looking forward to the backlash. We're like, what is the backlash going to be like? And the backlash was strong enough to get Daniel Bryan into the main event in the end. And, you know, it ended up happening. But see, with this, even though they announced it on the dirt sheet, it's like you really didn't see it coming because they changed so quickly. Like with Batista, it was reported that he was going to win in main event WrestleMania 30 with Randy Orton way back in December already, before Batista even came back to the WWE. Like when they first announced Batista to come back, which I think was in the beginning of December of 2013, like a month and a half before he came back, the rumors even said, you know, WWE and Batista agreed to a deal, and there were even reports that part of the deal was for him to win the Royal, agreed upon for him to win the Royal Rumble and then win the title, which never happened because of fan backlash. So they had to give the title to Daniel Bryan, but they already promised Batista that he would win it. And that's why Batista ultimately quit after Payback.
Well, he went on, yeah, they had the whole Evolution angle to try and make up for it, but.
Yeah, they tried to do something to keep him around and keep him intrigued, but ultimately it didn't work.
So what rating do you give the Rumble?
I mean, the Rumble, I mean, I was going according to my overall experience because I remember I had, you know, Anthony was over, we were watching it, we were having fun. I remember that night, I think I gave it like an 8. But I mean, overall, when I watch it again, because I have watched it, you know, like 2 other times. And, you know, I mean, really, it probably honestly deserves like a 5 or a 6.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it had some moments that were really good that I can't take away from to put it above average, but there was just, you know, so many illogical ones that got in the way.
And there was really, like, no surprise veterans. Nothing like that. It was just surprise cruiserweights that no one gives a fuck about. And they're not.
And they didn't even have Shelton Benjamin, for God's sakes. It's like, what's going on with him?
I mean, whoever that frickin' redheaded albino kid is, so.
Oh, Jack Gallagher.
Yeah, he's so annoying.
And Corey Graves rides his dick so hard every time he's on, man.
Ugh.
Corey Graves is constantly like, oh, you gotta be a gentleman like Jack Gallagher, and yeah. Corey Graves is a big-time Jack Gallagher dick rider, man.
The only good part for me about the whole Royal Rumble match was honestly having Jerry Lawler instead of Byron Saxton on commentary.
Oh, my God, yeah, because I'm trying to even think if King was on it last year, if we got Byron, but I remember just having Byron on, like, WrestleMania commentary and not having the King. It's fucking horrible. Like, they need to get Byron Saxton the fuck out of there. Yeah. It's to the point where I'm not even kidding anymore. Byron Saxton has to fucking go. He has to go by the wayside because he is awful.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how anybody can like Byron Saxton. I really don't.
Only an idiot like fucking Charlotte.
Yeah, really.
Whatever that's about.
Charlotte, she's another one, man. Everything with her is so overplayed. And so it's just so stupid already that I can't wait till they finally have her fucking pay-per-view streak broken. Leave it to WWE to, you know, make something up of Charlotte because they got a profit off of everything. And they got to come up with an undefeated pay-per-view streak. It's like, wow. Undefeated pay-per-view streak. And then doesn't WWE realize that they're spitting in the faces of their own legends when they have her say that she's the greatest athlete, male or female, to ever perform? I mean, you're just taking the legend's name like a Kurt Angle and fucking smearing it through the mud. A legend's name like The Undertaker and just smearing it through the mud.
Well, and then on Raw, they have Charlotte attack Sheamus. And she looks like a little pussy doing it. If she's that tough, she should be fighting Sheamus in that match on Raw.
Yeah, if she's that fucking dominant like she says she is, like, she should be like the next Chyna then.
Oh, yeah.
And she's nowhere even near it. Nowhere near. So I don't know, man. I mean, through it all, what did you think of the Rumble?
Well, I only tuned in for the Rumble match. I got in. I was down in Atlantic City, and we didn't get home until about 8:30, 9 o'clock that night. So I got some time for the Rumble match. And, you know, like I said, I could only really give the rating to that match, and I'd have to go like a fucking 2.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just rating that match alone, I don't blame you.
It was horrible.
If you were to see matches like Cena and Styles, it will definitely boost up your rating. But yeah, like if I put myself in a room and watch just that match, yeah, it'd probably be like a 2, 3, 4 at the most, but I don't even think it'd get that high. Yeah. Because they just didn't deliver on what they were supposed to, but I know we have a little part of Elimination Chamber discussion, which I want to get into before I get into about the main story and news and rumors with Seth Rollins. As far as Elimination Chamber goes, I feel that SmackDown is kind of getting gypped. You know, that they had to be a part of the Royal Rumble. You know, the, like, Raw, SmackDown, you know, joint brand pay-per-view. And then 2 weeks later, SmackDown's gonna come back and book a full pay-per-view at the Elimination Chamber, which has gotta be hard. So now, I'm thinking about they have Natty and Nikki Bella, I think, made. I know they have the Elimination Chamber match made, but it's like I look at it with the guys that are in it. I know there's Styles, Cena, Corbin, Miz, Wyatt, and Luke Harper, I think, is the sixth one. It's not Orton because he's not in the chamber. I think it might have been Harper. Can't remember. There's 6 guys in the chamber, of course, as we all know. And one of them's gonna walk out with the championship. And right now at this point, I don't see John Cena leaving the Elimination Chamber with the title. I just don't. I don't know if you see it, but honestly, I don't, man, because I'm really thinking about it. There's no way they could go through with John Cena versus Randy Orton one-on-one.
No.
Actually, here it is. John Cena, AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt, Baron Corbin, The Miz, and Dean Ambrose. Those are the 6 guys. I mean, honestly, the only one I see walking out with it is Bray Wyatt. To end the Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton rivalry. But, you know, here's something interesting. And, you know, if you really think about it, like I've heard rumors going around right now that the only reason why Randy Orton did this whole Wyatt family thing, because we were trying to figure out why Randy Orton's doing it. I heard rumors that Randy Orton reportedly, you know, told someone close to him himself that he's doing this whole storyline to make Bray Wyatt a star because he believes in Bray Wyatt. And I guess supposedly he says that's why he won the Rumble. Believe me, when all this is said and done, Bray Wyatt is going to come out looking like a huge star. And honestly, if you really think about it logically, that's the only way it really could go. I mean, you have Randy Orton versus John Cena. It's like, then what? Do you have Randy Orton win? Or do you have Cena win? It's like, see, either or, it's like you're stuck. this way in the Elimination Chamber, maybe everybody will gang up on Cena. Cena will get eliminated. Bray Wyatt ends up walking out with the title. And then this causes that dissension in between the Wyatt family. Orton challenges for the title, but Wyatt's force is too strong, stronger than Orton's, and he still walks out with that title. I'm really thinking that that's the possibility here. And I'm curious what you think.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really the only logical thing. That's just the bottom line. Only logical thing is to have Orton versus Bray Wyatt. Or, you know, this wouldn't be the first time we sat on here live on the air and said the most logical option and only to have it be a completely different thing. Like, I mean, I'm even picturing, you know, AJ Styles winning the Elimination Chamber and AJ Styles versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania. And maybe Bray Wyatt turns his back on Randy Orton at WrestleMania. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you definitely have a great point there, but the one thing that is going to kind of throw a wrench into that is reportedly AJ Styles is going to be taking on Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but that's kind of stupid. AJ Styles,
I mean, right now
is an active competitor.
Yeah, like right now it seems that way, but they do have a storyline plot for it. Like with AJ losing the title, he doesn't want to go into the Elimination Chamber because he feels, you know, it's wrong to him. You know, Shane McMahon doesn't give him his one-on-one rematch. He just puts him in the chamber. Yeah. Styles loses. Styles gets more pissed off at Shane. This causes Shane to have to fight Styles. And, you know, against an athlete, the caliber of Styles, Shane is going to have to do something death-defying to, you know, make this work, make this match worthwhile.
Well, and my only other bit of hesitation with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton is, okay, you know, they're really only going to have a little under a month and a half to build this feud. And with SmackDown being a 2-hour show, I mean, is that really an appropriate amount of time to build your World Heavyweight Championship main event at WrestleMania? I don't think so. I mean, right now, they're not really building for the match. They're mainly building their tag team.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton at WrestleMania, I don't think they have that luxury. They needed to have this getting started around Survivor Series.
Yeah, to have a nice slow build to it, to let it set in, you know, like it used to be in the old days.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Elimination Chamber, if you even think about this, this is SmackDown's last pay-per-view before WrestleMania.
Yep.
In, what is it now? We're sitting at Thursday. 10 days. 10 days, SmackDown is having their last pay-per-view on the road to WrestleMania. Anything else from this point on, that means they have to build it on SmackDown. And, you know, whether or not that'll work. So there's a few interesting points. But I do have some news on Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And honestly, after what I heard last night, this is an update, but after what I heard last night, I'm really concerned. I seen something. I forgot what the person's name was because I would credit him. I forgot. I'm sorry, but one of the guys from What Culture posted this 10-second video of Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins, and you could clearly you could clearly lip read what they're saying to one another. Like, you could tell when Joe has Rollins in the rear naked choke, Joe asks Rollins, you could see him ask Rollins, are you okay, man? And Rollins, you could clearly see him say, I hope so. So Rollins obviously doesn't know what happened. And, you know, one thing I did think of is that maybe, you know, WWE is going to such lengths to have this overproduced thing where Rollins, they show him flying out to the doctors and, you know, then he comes back from injury to add heat to the rivalry with Triple H. But, you know, if they were going to overproduce something like that, I mean, obviously it'd be awesome, but I don't think Joe would be asking Rollins if he's okay when he's got him in a rear naked choke if something didn't really happen. You kind of know what I mean?
Yeah. But
so, I mean,
you know me, I'm always speculating on whether those injuries are legit or not, so it's just one of those things.
Yeah, there's always, you know, like a conspiracy theory behind everything. You never know. And it's just funny that Triple H talks about Rollins, you know, oh, he, when he got injured, he gave back everything and he spit in my face. And then it's like, what, here he gets injured again after they talk about it? I don't understand, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, take this with a grain of salt. I don't know what's been confirmed and what's not been confirmed at this point. We'll talk about it. Let me see if I can screen share this. So that way everybody watching on YouTube can see the story, exactly what I'm talking about. Alright, there we go. And let's see here. Now I gotta go back on here and alright. So as you can see, this is on theinquisitor.com. It was written today, February 2nd, 2017. WWE News, analysis on Seth Rollins' injury and the immediate domino effect. Written by John Fisher of theinquisitor.com. Let's scroll down and let's get into this. Anything can it, oh god, thanks computer. Jumping like that on me. Anything can happen to the WWE when it comes to returns of past superstars. Nobody knows when old favorites come back to the squared circle. A recent example is Kurt Angle, the Pittsburgh native who left the WWE and went to TNA after leaving on bad terms. Angle was not supposed to come back to the WWE, however. He is being inducted as the first entrant of the 2017 WWE Hall of Fame class. Employees, fans, and even casual viewers of the product understand anything can change at a moment's notice. Comebacks are one thing, but injuries can set off a domino effect that can take the WWE to a whole new place, one that may be entirely different than the destination originally intended. WWE officials have had master plans for WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and even the Royal Rumble. Let's see. When a WWE star goes down with an unexpected injury, the storyline goes down with said superstar. It not only affects the wrestlers, but the WWE universe as well. Alright, now we gotta scroll down past here, and we'll continue with this. Come on, computer. All right. Seth Rollins was the victim of an unfortunate injury last year, and it derailed most of the WWE's creative plans heading into WrestleMania 32 season on a European tour in Dublin, Ireland, I believe it was. Seth Rollins completely tore ligaments in his knee, attempting a sunset flip powerbomb to Kane several months later, as well as an absence at WrestleMania 32. Rollins finally returned in time for a big match at SummerSlam. He lost to Finn Balor in a WWE Universal Championship match before, Balor tore several ligaments in his shoulder that night and has not been seen since. Balor's derailment completely changed the WWE's plan moving forward with the WWE Universal Championship. The Demon King is set for a return near the end of February, but those months gone, those were months gone that made WWE officials turn their ideas upside down. In a previous report by the Inquisitor, it was revealed that Seth Rollins just re-injured his right knee when Samoa Joe attacked him on WWE Monday Night Raw. Since then, Rollins sent out a statement proclaiming he is going to rebuild once again and slay the King Triple H. Now, as you can see here on this, on the screen, there's a few tweets from Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins said, wanted to take a second to thank everyone who has reached out to me over the last 2 days. Life doesn't always go your way, but that is no excuse to surrender. If anything, obstacles exist to help us grow and evolve. This re-injury to my surgically repaired knee is real, and a lot is up in the air right now. But one thing remains constant. My resolve. This does not end for me until I've reclaimed the throne. And Rollins goes on to say, and for me, fighting and defeating Triple H is the only way I work harder than I ever have and push myself beyond what I know. He goes on to say that this isn't over. The only way to wear the crown is to slay the king. I know what must be done, and there is nothing that can stop me. And there were also a couple tweets that are not in this article, but I'll tell you about them right now. There were a couple tweets, you know, when Rollins showed himself on the doctor's, took a picture of his leg, you know, when he was on the doctor's examining table, like, you know, I wish this was a bad dream. Samoa Joe played it up on Twitter by tweeting to Triple H, like, alright, you know, like, I did what you asked me to do, boss. You know, looks like a job well done. And so Samoa Joe playing it up on Twitter. But going forward with this story here, Rollins' injury is very unfortunate. He is a young WWE superstar who should not have to deal with the frustration of a setback like this in the WWE. It is much different than a professional sport in that aspect. A starter gets hurt and their spot is held until they get back. When a wrestler goes on the shelf for an extended period of time, there's a chance WWE fans forget about them and move on to whoever took their spot. Let's see. It goes on to say, the injury to the architect of the Shield is going to set off that aforementioned domino effect to the entire WWE locker room, as well as the decision-making of Vince McMahon. There are going to be backup plans, cage-side seats. Put out a report in the last 24 hours stating that the WWE officials have held an emergency meeting to discuss plans in case Rollins cannot compete at WrestleMania 33, his injury at this moment is rumored to be a torn MCL. which would take about 8 weeks to yield. 8 weeks from now basically puts you at WrestleMania Sunday. Which means if that's the case, before I read the rest of this, which means if that's the case, say if Rollins is good to go in 8 weeks, that's basically WrestleMania Day. If this is indeed the injury, too. Don't forget about that. If it's indeed the injury, if this is the injury, you know, that they're talking about, if it really is it, and Rollins has to be out for 8 weeks, they said it could take 8 weeks. It might take longer, but figure if it takes 8 weeks, that puts you at WrestleMania Day. That means this match, if they're going to go through with this match, has to be built without Rollins. Rollins, you know, cannot be in the ring. Triple H will have to come out and do trash talking. Rollins would probably have to appear via satellite. I don't know what they would do, but... Oh, let's see. Also mentioned in the report is the fact that Triple H still intends to wrestle at the WWE's largest event, WrestleMania, in April. There are other opportunities for him to put over young talents such as Samoa Joe or Finn Balor. However, everything is going to depend on the rate at which Seth Rollins heals. It is his second injury on that same knee in the last year. The WWE will have to take extra precautions when clearing him to compete, and whatever happens at WrestleMania, expect it to be centered around the architect. Oh, man. The only thing I could say out of all this is that I hope it's not true. I hope that, you know, Rollins is going to make it through this. I really do. I really hope that he will make it through this, or that this is just a big, you know, a big play here.
Yeah.
Now, as you see, I jumped on yahoonews.com because this one looked like a updated thing here. So I want to read this. This one claims, we'll see if it basically reads the same thing that I just said on the other one, but this one sounds a little more maybe clear, or if they're doing it for clickbait, I don't know. Seth Rollins will reportedly miss an extended period of time after re-injuring his knee. So let's see what Yahoo News has to say. It says, this was written on UpRocks by Brian Stock. This was written today. Monday night's episode of WWE Raw. Better yet, I should scroll up so people could see the picture. That's what Rollins looked like leaving Raw on Monday night. Just so everybody's clear. This is when the cameras were off. This is when Seth Rollins was going to his car. As you can see, he's on crutches. Now, like I said, WWE could play this up as, you know, an overproduced thing to try to make this real, but I don't know. I really think, I'm starting to think it's real, but then again, it could be one of those conspiracy theory things like Sean was talking about. You never know, you know, with what they're really thinking here. But let's see what they gotta say. Monday night's episode of WWE Monday Night Raw went off the air with Seth Rollins lying prone in the ring, a victim of a savage beatdown by the debuting Samoa Joe on Monday Night Raw. Let's see, on Wednesday, the horrible news came in that Rollins had re-injured his surgically repaired knee during the attack, and may now be in danger of missing WrestleMania for the second straight year. Late on Wednesday night, so this is last night, late, reported in the new issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer reported in the new issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, that Rollins' right knee went out as Joe took Rollins down to apply the Coquina clutch, and his feet were still moving, causing him to fall incorrectly. At this point, the diagnosis is believed to be a torn MCL. So that's the second report that is leading towards a torn MCL, which is obviously concerning at this point. I mean, we went through this with Rollins before. You know, this is a sad, unfortunate state of events. You know, I don't want to see Seth Rollins not in WrestleMania again. We went through that last year at WrestleMania 32. I remember WrestleMania 32. I was really thinking that, that Rollins was going to be a part of WrestleMania 32 and fight Triple H, but it didn't happen. So, I don't know, man. I really don't know. We got a few people here, though. We got Josh Committee in the chat who says, butting. We got Frankie Cigar who says, butting. And Frankie Cigar also asks, do you think Trump will ever make another WWE appearance? I say, yes, yeah. And I say I hope so. I think it will happen eventually. I mean, yeah, with him as president, it might be a little less likely, but then again, you know how Trump, all right, let me tell a little story about Donald Trump. I don't know if I told this to you, Sean, when you were on the air with me or if I did this on one of my solo shows. I can't remember, okay. But there was a story back at WrestleMania 23, you know, with the whole Battle of the Billionaires thing and Stone Cold stunned Trump at the end of the whole segment. Well, I guess what happened backstage before everything went down, the story goes as this, so I can report, you know, what's out there. I guess Trump and McMahon were talking in the back, saying how things are going to go. And McMahon, you know, suggested something of what about Donald Trump, you know, would he consider taking a bump? The guy, Donald Trump's right-hand guy, I guess, you know, who watches over him and is supposed to make sure that he don't get hurt or this and that, was trying to tell him, you know, not to do it. You know, you got a lot of things you got to do with your businesses. You can't go in the ring and risk and take a bump. And then Trump just kind of brushed it off. And, you know, then they started talking about Donald Trump taking the Stone Cold Stunner. And, you know, Trump was, I guess, suggesting, you know, maybe that. And then, you know, Vince liked the idea. Then Trump asked Vince, there's one thing I want to know. Do you think it will make you money? Do you think it will be what's best for your business? And McMahon answered back that with undoubtedly, you know, this will make money. This will be something that will be replayed in WWE annals probably for a good long while, and something that will blow the roof, because that's another thing that Trump added. Will it get a good fan reaction? And McMahon said it would blow the roof off of Ford Field. It would, you know, it would be this history-making moment in WrestleMania, this moment in time if Donald Trump would take the bump. And it would be what's best for business. And as soon as Trump heard that, he ignored all the advice of his advisor that was with him, and he told Vince, I'm going out, I'm taking the Stone Cold Stunner. And he said, I'm going to do what's right, you know, by your show for WrestleMania to make a memorable moment. And Donald Trump got in there and took the Stone Cold Stunner.
Well, President Trump is a really smart, and he's a guy with great taste. And, you know, I don't think there's any better form of entertainment to be a part of a more honorable form of entertainment than the WWE. It's solid. It's American. It's reliable. You know, it's just everything you could want from, you know, this circus type event. And that's what, you know, life is all about as an American. It's the freedom to do what you want to do and have fun and root for who you want to root for and boo for who you want to boo for and watch people come up from nothing and achieve everything on the biggest stage of them all. That's what WWE is, and that's what President Trump believes in, and that's why he's a fan of WWE, because he's a smart guy. And, you know, obviously by picking Linda McMahon as Secretary of Small Business, he respects the McMahons immensely for their contributions to this country.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I just was thinking, you know, with Donald Trump, or President Trump, I was just thinking, if he's willing to get in there to take a bump with Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think he would be willing as President of the United States to make an appearance on WWE TV.
Oh, yeah.
In the future. I don't see why not. I believe he would be the first president ever to make an appearance on WWE television.
Well, Obama had like a little video package, but it wasn't directly addressed to WWE, I don't think.
Yeah, it was more like to the troops in the country.
I can't remember, but I mean, either way, I mean, Bill Clinton was on WWE back in the 90s. No, I'm kidding. Remember when they had him in the stands at SummerSlam as a joke?
Oh, yeah, that was WrestleMania 10 in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And then they had, and then I remember President Bush also had one of those video messages too on Tribute to the Troops, just like you were talking about with the Obama one. I remember that now.
Yeah. But no one actually, no sitting president. But, you know, I really am disappointed in WWE for not going ahead and congratulating President Trump formally for becoming president, you know, and WWE Hall of Famer. That kind of really disappoints me. And when you see the visceral hate for President Trump by WWE superstars, those are the ones that aren't going to last. Those are the losers that aren't going to be Hall of Famers. I know you like Sasha, but she just doesn't have her head on straight. She's following this Hollywood agenda that is trying to crucify President Trump. And you know what? At the end of the day, those are the people that crash and burn.
Oh, no doubt about it. I don't agree with Sasha's political views.
When you don't stand for anything, you fall for everything. And that's exactly what people who don't like President Trump represent. They fall for anything.
I can't remember. I do know. I can't remember what she said after the election, but I know what you're talking about.
Well, she was just being a little, you know, shifty and tweeting like, we all need a prayer right now. Let's all pray. You know, just basically being like condescending about his victory, you know.
Now, the worst reaction out of all of it was Sami Zayn.
Well, I don't even want to go there.
Why? So that way you can rip up a new ass here on the podcast.
That's not what this week's show's about. If you want to see that, go back to the New Year's Eve special or something like that. Or the Election Night special.
I think it was the Roadblock. The Election Night special, and I think it was the Roadblock predictions when we had everybody in the house and you just went off on Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I won't ever like him again. I loved him when I saw him at Battleground, but you know what? Sometimes these superstars have to pick whether or not they want to use their Twitter handles as character extensions or as real life extensions. That's what pisses me off so much, is they pretend like their character on their Twitter handle, and then at the same time they're going off on political rants and personal bullshit. It's like you can't have a Twitter handle as a character and then have the same Twitter handle as a fucking citizen. You have to pick, otherwise you're no different than your character. You are your character.
Yeah, you know what, you're right. I mean, if you're gonna be a superstar, you gotta use your Twitter the right way. Instead it's like,
see, with Stephanie doesn't use her Twitter handle as like an extension of her character at all. That's her personal page.
Yep.
Everything she does on there is personal and business orientated. She doesn't have her character on Twitter or Instagram.
Exactly. Like, if she wanted to make her character, she could put, like, you know, Billion Dollar Princess as her Twitter handle, but she didn't do that.
I don't get it.
But it's like, yeah, you know, you're exactly right. Like, Sami Zayn has his character on Twitter. I mean, even Seth Rollins does, you know?
Seth Rollins is talking about, you know, religion and stuff the other night. And it's like, what a freaking moron. You're going to lose half of your fan base when you talk about religion or politics. You automatically divide, you know, half of your fans. Automatically.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, he's speaking probably his real life views. And it's perfect what you said, because he's speaking his real life views, and his real name isn't Seth Rollins.
No.
His real name's Colby Lopez.
Yeah.
If he wants to speak his own personal views, then why doesn't he make a Colby Lopez Twitter?
And that's why going back to the Seth Rollins injury, I'm not going to, but if I were a betting man, the odds are that Seth Rollins is totally fake. This is a total storyline. Because if you remember when he came back from the injury last time, which more and more, I guess I believe, but the doctor on that Seth Rollins 24 episode on the network said, this is an impossible re-injury. And what did they say? He re-injured his exact injury. Even though on that 24, the doctor said that couldn't happen. And now why does it only take 8 weeks to heal? But last time it took 8 months.
Well, that's easy because the first time he tore his ACL, MCL, meniscus, and I think the LCL as well. He tore like everything up. This time reportedly it's just the MCL that torn. Now, I feel the same as you. I don't know. You know, I would say and hope that it's a storyline too. But say if he misses WrestleMania 33, then are you going to think that it's a real injury, or are you still going to think that it's storyline? Because if he misses WrestleMania 33, then I'm going to go with it's a real injury, because there's no way they'd want to keep him out of WrestleMania, because now they've got to reshuffle everything if Rollins is not a part of that show, and it's going to ruin a lot of things.
Or it is still storyline, and, you know, Seth Rollins is going to be out on the shelf. Finn Balor will return and have a feud with Samoa Joe. And then Seth Rollins will come around SummerSlam and take the championship off of Balor.
You know what?
Because
that can happen.
You know they want Balor and Rollins separated for as long as possible to milk that as long as humanly possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And isn't it convenient that, you know, Seth Rollins wasn't in the Royal Rumble, which typically tells you if someone's not involved in the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, they're not going to be at WrestleMania.
That's true too. By the way, I want to read this out in the live chat. We got Jordan Myron here tuning in, and he's saying that Seth will be back too soon. You know, when he comes back from this injury, Seth will be back too soon. He will be working 4 to 5 days a week, and probably end up getting hurt again.
It could be.
It's like, I'm honestly starting to worry about Seth Rollins, like, it's almost like one of those, I'm trying to find a good athlete to describe, like, okay, Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, top NBA player, won the NBA MVP, tore his knee up, came back, tore his knee up in that same year after he came back, his other knee. Now both his knees are tore up, and now he's with the Knicks and constantly getting injured all the time. It's like, I really wonder if these injuries to Seth Rollins are legit. I wonder if Seth Rollins is going to be damaged goods now for the rest of his career, and I don't want it to be that way. I really don't want it to be that way because I love Seth Rollins, and just to think that Seth Rollins might be damaged goods as young as he is, you know, just sitting on the shelf like that, man, that hurts. That really hurts. But the whole thing is I really don't know. I don't know if Rollins is damaged goods or if he is just, or if this is just all part of the storyline. But then again, you know, they gotta do Triple H and Rollins though. They've been wanting to do this since WrestleMania 32.
I think we'll have to wait for next year until that. I just do.
Wow. You really think they're gonna pull out Triple H Rollins at 34?
I think Finn Balor's going to return and probably face maybe Samoa Joe. I don't know what's Triple H going to do. I just don't. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, one thing that I've been thinking of now that you said we might have to wait till next year for Triple H and Rollins, if you really think about it with Triple H, I think the only opponent he has left in his career is Seth Rollins. I think Triple H is nearing that end of the line like The Undertaker is. Like how they held off on Undertaker and Cena because they know WrestleMania 34 is going to be that big WrestleMania. They might have done the same thing with Triple H and Rollins. You know, move that to next year.
Or it could be, you know, like I said, AJ Styles versus Randy Orton and Shane McMahon versus Triple H somehow.
Shane McMahon and Triple H would be an awesome match. Especially if they would be doing away with the draft, which I wish they would do. I really wish they would do away with the draft because you know how I feel about a brand split. And, you know, I'm already thinking like, man, you know, like if Joe, like say, all right, if Samoa Joe's on Raw, I'm already thinking, wow, look at the matches that it's taken away. It's taken away Joe versus Cena. Joe versus Styles. Like, all a brand split does is take away all your match possibilities that you want to see. That's all it does. To me, the brand split really doesn't do anything good. The only one that I feel really benefited from this brand split are guys like Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler. Other than that, I don't think it's really benefited anything except making us miss on possible dream matches that we want to see as fans. That we don't get to have, like now with Joe being on Raw. Can you imagine how many people, wrestling fans, are out there that have been dying to see Joe and AJ go against each other to recapture those days of TNA, because I know there's a lot of diehard TNA fans out there that want to desperately see Joe and AJ, and now they can't because Joe's on freaking Raw. So, I mean, that's what makes a brand split a big, complete, and utter mess, man. And I just wish they'd get rid of it. That's what a Triple H Shane McMahon match would lead to. Control of the company, get rid of this brand split, and, you know, this is what you do. This is honestly what you do. You keep the roster as one. Now hear me out on this if you think this would work. You keep the roster as one, but you only plan certain guys, you know, certain guys to travel to certain shows. Like, say, if you're not going to use, like, say, if you're not going to use Seth Rollins on Raw or AJ Styles on Raw when you're under one roster, if your time's built up with all the other talents that you have, you could use matches for Styles and Rollins and Cena on SmackDown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they don't all have to wrestle. They don't all have to be there on Raw. But, you know, like, maybe one week these guys will be on Raw. One week these guys will be on SmackDown. Just book accordingly. And then you still have two very good shows under one roster that don't take any fantasy matchups away. And they don't have to wrestle twice a week. It's like having a brand split without one. But, you know, they don't think about certain things, man. It just sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking about what we're talking about. I mean, obviously, I hate the brand split, too. We've been against that the entire length of this show.
Yeah, think about it. The podcast started the day that the brand split was announced.
Yep, that was a great way to kick it off, but it was almost like a bittersweet thing. Like, here we are, beginning this great new journey, and we had to kick it off with, you know, like, wrestling's version of 9/11, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah, man. It was, it hurt. And, you know, I just hope that they finally get something, some kind of traction underneath them where, you know, they work something out and make this worthwhile for us. I really, really do. But I guess only time will tell.
Any other news out there?
Let me take a look and see. Because I'm actually going through right now. Let's see.
What's going on with Paige?
Paige, you know what? She hasn't even really been in the news.
I saw over the weekend that Alberto Del Rio has some restaurant in San Antonio, and her and Alberto were at the restaurant signing autographs and watching Royal Rumble with the fans, but
I got an interesting piece of news here that the Inquisitor just came out with. It says, WrestleMania 33 news, WWE Network must have AJ Styles center stage. So here's a big article on AJ Styles. And it says, did John Cena's win against AJ Styles last weekend at WWE's Royal Rumble? Wait, did John Cena win? Yeah. Let's see. Well, as most of us wrestling fans know, Cena and Styles turned in a fantastic match, and Cena came out on top to win his 16th World Championship. Cena's been the face of WWE for many years, but Styles is well on his way to replacing Cena as the WWE's biggest attraction. Styles was regarded as one of the world's best wrestlers even before he made his epic WWE entrance at the 2016 Royal Rumble. That match established Styles as a WWE Network favorite, and he went on to become world champion, or WWE champion, I should say. Styles lost to John Cena at the 2017 Royal Rumble is somewhat confusing. We all know that Styles had a rematch clause in his contract, assuming him another crack at Cena if he lost the championship. Cena will defend his title against five wrestlers, including Styles, at next week's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. But if the rumors are correct, then Styles will not regain his crown at the event. So now let's move forward here. As reported by the Inquisitor earlier this week, it is rumored that Bray Wyatt will conquer all comers at the Elimination Chamber event to set up a world championship bout against Royal Rumble winner Randy Orton at WrestleMania 33. WrestleZone points out that that if that proves to be true, then both Cena and Styles would be left without a major role to play at WrestleMania 33. It seems unlikely that the WWE Network would continue with two of its biggest stars. I'm trying to find my spot. Alright. WWE would continue as two of its biggest stars, having only a minor role to play at the network's biggest event. The WWE Universe knows that John Cena has a lot of TV and movie commitments away from the ring as a result, and assuming that he does lose his championship at the Elimination Chamber, a minor role for Cena at WrestleMania could be on the cards. The same cannot be said for AJ Styles. Rumors have been sweeping the WWE Universe claiming that Cena's girlfriend, Nikki Bella, will retire from wrestling after WrestleMania 33. As Sports Kita pointed out, this could substantiate claims that Nikki Bella and John Cena will team up for a WrestleMania tag match against The Miz and Maryse, and this would be fitting to send off Nikki. But see, now where does that leave AJ Styles at WrestleMania 33? And I guess this will give us all the potential rumors as to what, you know, they're going to do with AJ Styles here. So let me, I should have put this on screen share. I forgot, but let me scroll. Let me see. All right. What are the plans for AJ Styles at WrestleMania 33? Given the popularity that Styles enjoys in the WWE Universe, it is unthinkable that the Phenomenal One won't have a huge match at WrestleMania. It is, however, difficult to see where that match is coming from. The big event may be 8 weeks away, but there are signs that the WWE Network's plans may yet be thrown into chaos. This week's Monday Night Raw saw Samoa Joe make a splash by attacking Seth Rollins and BF at Triple H. It was naturally assumed that this marked Samoa Joe's step up to the main roster, and many thought that a WrestleMania bout against Rollins was in the cards. As PW Mania reports, Rollins left Raw on crutches, and his appearance at WrestleMania 33 is now in doubt. As we spoke of that earlier on the show here. All right, let's see. So now here's all the things regarding AJ Styles. The 2017 Royal Rumble saw Roman Reigns enter the fray as the last entrant at number 30. Reigns had already lost a world title match earlier in the evening, universal title match, I mean, and he entered the ring to a huge course of booze. Reigns blindsided and eliminated The Undertaker, something unlikely to endear him to the WWE Universe. The Undertaker and Reigns engaged in an epic stare down, and many assumed that was to set up a match between the two at WrestleMania 33. It is now being reported that The Undertaker may have to have a hip replacement, something that may well rule him out of WrestleMania 33. So where does this all leave AJ Styles? As Bleacher Report points out, Styles' WrestleMania prospects do not look too bright at the present time. Goldberg and Brock Lesnar seem to have a WrestleMania slot nailed down. Reigns taking on Undertaker will be huge if the dead man is fit. Orton has a world championship match rumored to be against Bray Wyatt. It has been rumored that Styles may take on Shane McMahon, but that would be a travesty. The WWE Network has been losing viewers in the prospect of putting its most valuable asset into the ring with a part-timer would infuriate the WWE Universe. If the injuries to Rollins and The Undertaker are genuine, then the prospect of a match between Styles and Roman Reigns would be an intriguing one, which I wouldn't want to see again. I don't even know why this article's saying that. I wouldn't want to see fucking Reigns and AJ again. I'd rather see AJ against Shane at that point. And it goes on to say, we would see the most popular man in wrestling take on the least popular. The scene would be set for a Roman Reigns heel turn, and AJ, and an AJ Styles victory would set him up as the WWE's top face for years to come. I totally disagree with that, Inquisitor.com. Yes, it might be good for a heel turn, but I don't want to see a fucking match that I've seen all this year after WrestleMania. Sorry, no, it doesn't work for me that way. So, I don't know. How do you feel about that, buddy?
I really want to see AJ Styles in the main event at WrestleMania and win a championship, so that
it would be awesome.
And like they said, he's the one who's the most popular searched on the WWE network. If WWE really cares about business and the WWE network like they claim to, well, make this the most popular search WrestleMania ever. Make people buy that network.
Exactly. So we got a couple big stories out, and man, I just hope it's going to be good. I really do.
Oh, it should be. And you'll be right there, you know, reporting live for all of us. So also, I want to make sure everyone checks out your interview with Buff Bagwell last week.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You want to, you know, give the people, in case they give it a little commercial?
Yeah. My interview with Buff Bagwell last Thursday night was an epic interview. You know, Buff Bagwell and I basically talked about, you know, his beginnings, like his training and how he got into the wrestling business. And then we started talking about Del Wilkes, which is his friend, the Patriot Del Wilkes, who was on the podcast as well a couple months back. And then we started talking about his firing from the WWE, and it got into this all-out, you know, heated discussion, you know, not between Buff and I, but between, you know, Buff and the WWE. And it's, he gives you all the answers that you want to know. If you've been wondering about what happened that night in Tacoma with Booker T and Buff Bagwell, you know, this isn't some WWE network produced show where they gotta, you know, go around the answer and not really tell you like they did with Booker T. This is straight from the mouth of Buff Bagwell. And like he even said in the interview, he hasn't told anybody this yet to date.
Wow.
And you hear that a couple times throughout the interview. He's like, well, you know, nobody has ever heard this. I haven't told anybody this, but you know, here it is. And he revealed all, he told all about that time. So if you ever want to know what happened to Buff Bagwell and what went on that, in that whole period, you want to check out that show and also find out what is really going on between him and, Jim Ross. And, you know, what happened between the two of them and what their relationship is like. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in that interview. And, I know Mr. Bagwell said he wants to come back for a part two to talk about all about his WCW days and favorite matches and rivalries and trying to talk about the final Nitro and everything as well. So, Mr. Bagwell's going to be looking to come back hopefully within the next week or so, and we'll get something going, and we'll get him back here, and it'll be another great show.
So just give us a rough idea, though. Like, what are you talking about with Booker T and Buff Bagwell?
that whole thing that happened in Tacoma, Washington 15 years ago when they had to go out. Remember when Shane first bought WCW and he finally put WCW on Raw television? They had the main event that night in Tacoma. And, you know, the match wasn't really, it wasn't a good match. You know, ultimately in the end, I think they pretty much blamed Bagwell. You know, he got fired. And then in the Legends with JBL show, Booker T, basically all Booker T said is that, you know, Buff wasn't conditioned. You know, he wasn't ready for that match. He shouldn't have been out there for that match. And Buff just tells all on this. And there, it's interesting when you think of that night in Tacoma, Washington, Vince wanted to push for it so hard. I'm going to tell you this is a little teaser, and then the rest of you got to check it out to find out the rest. Tacoma, Washington is where Vince wanted to push this match. Nobody really knew WCW in Tacoma. You know, nobody. WCW was on the East Coast near the Southern States, not on the West Coast at the top corner of the map in Tacoma. So they put the...
Are we talking about in the year 2001?
Yep.
Well, WCW was more popular than WWE in the United States throughout the late 90s.
Yeah, but Tacoma wasn't a big wrestling city for WCW. I believe they only had one show in Tacoma.
Okay.
In like the late 90s. Tacoma wasn't a really a big WCW crowd. It was a big WWE crowd. And the funny thing is, the week after that match happened, Raw was scheduled to take place from Atlanta, Georgia. Vince wouldn't hold off one more week to book that match in Atlanta, Georgia, where WCW was made famous, where WCW was born, to put Buff Bagwell and Booker T out there on a grand stage on Raw in Atlanta, Georgia, in the main event where the roof would have blown off the arena. It's like Vince almost purposely sabotaged WCW right out of the gate. And Buff just tells that whole story. You know, Marcus Bagwell, I call him Mark, but he tells the whole story on it. And it is fantastic. It is a fascinating, fascinating story. And I hope anybody that hasn't heard the whole thing, I really hope you guys go and listen to this whole interview, because there was a lot put in it and a lot of great stuff was talked about.
Definitely.
Really was. And I know you enjoyed it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know. I didn't really know too much about him aside from the whole, you know, porn star thing, because that's all you really read about in the news. You never really read much else about him unless you're following him specifically. So it's fascinating to hear.
Actually, it was when he was the story that they had on the internet. It wasn't porn star. It was male escort.
Oh, okay.
That was the story that was circulating on the internet. And, you know, yeah, the funny thing is, it's like, yeah, they talk, you know, they were talking so much about that on the internet. And, you know, it's sad, you know, that nobody really got the chance, you know, to really know Marcus Bagwell, like he talked about in the interview. And, you know,
Did you talk about the escort thing?
No, we did not talk about that. This was all about his, about his, you know, dismissal from WWE and that fateful night in Tacoma, because that was like the main focus. That's been the main focus on everybody's minds for years.
Yeah.
So we dedicated a whole show to that. and, you know, the whole first part to that. Part two is where, you know, his career and everything else is going to pick up at that point.
Well, yeah, that's a great, you know, this is a wrestling show and, you know, there's more to life than wrestling sometimes, but it's also, you know, sometimes people want to move on from stuff and not go back to it, and definitely respect that.
Yeah, and you know what, it was just great. I was honored to be able to conduct that interview, and I couldn't be happier and more honored to do so, yeah. Honestly. It was great, and I couldn't thank, you know, Mr. Bagwell enough for his time, and I can't wait to get him back on, and I hope when I do get him back on, you know, you and everybody else will be checking it out.
Oh, you know it.
Because that's going to be a big show.
Do you have any This Day in Wrestling History? I can't pull it up because I'm down at the laundromat folding clothes.
Oh, you're down there right now?
Yeah.
Let me find it. How do you Google search to find it, Sean Sino?
I just typed This Day in Wrestling History, and normally Cage Side Seats pops up.
Okay. Let's see. All right. This Day in Wrestling History. Yep, you're right. Cage Side Seats. Wow, there's a couple. Wow. There's a lot of stuff. Wait, let's see. Where's February 2nd? I notice how these are dated now. Okay. So you just read the top one where it's dated at?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is going to be rather interesting. This one right here. It's time for This Day in Wrestling History for February 2nd. And what do you think it has to do with?
Probably some sort of Royal Rumble fallout.
Surprisingly, no. It's actually Brock Lesnar debuts in the Octagon.
Oh, wow. That'll never happen again.
This is a good one.
Isn't he banned from UFC for life now?
For 1 year.
Oh.
I think till July, if I'm not mistaken. So Brock Lesnar, and I remember that when he debuted inside the Octagon against Frank Mir, he came out, tried to viciously attack Mir, you know, pretty much put the punches to him, and then got a little cocky, and then Mir put him in an ankle lock, and Lesnar was forced to tap out, and I was like, wow. Also, 41 years ago today in Dallas, Sue Green defeated the Fabulous Moolah to win the NWA World Women's Championship. This title change is not recognized by NWA nor the WWE. And 31 years ago today, I feel that this is an important piece of history to talk about, even though it's, you know, not the happiest one. 31 years ago today, Charles Eugene Wolfe Jr., best known to wrestling fans as Gino Hernandez, died of a drug overdose in his apartment in Highland Park, Texas. He was just 28. And born August 14, 1957 in Highland Park, Texas, Hernandez initially wrestled for Ed Ferret, a.k.a. the original Sheik's Big Time Wrestling based out of Detroit, Michigan. His long black hair and movie star look made him an instant hit with female fans in January of 1977. Hernandez would win their version of the NWA United States Championship from Don Kent, holding it for about 3 months before losing it to the Sheik. Hernandez also wrestled for the Southwest Championship Wrestling training team, teaming with and feuding with and losing his hair to Jose Lothario, former manager of Shawn Michaels, in case those of you didn't know. Following the closure of Big Time Wrestling, Hernandez joined World Class Championship Wrestling, feuded with David Von Erich over the NWA Texas Heavyweight Championship for a brief period. He returned to Southwest Championship Wrestling, teaming with Tully Blanchard as the dynamic duo. Blanchard and Hernandez would become one of the most hated duos in the state of Texas and one of the most successful, winning their promotions Southwest tag titles 5 times from 1981 to 1983 and the World Tag Team Championships twice. Hernandez picked up his feud with the Von Erichs when he returned to World Class Championship Wrestling in 1984. That summer, he would be paired with Nicola Roberts, who had a childhood crush on Hernandez. No, seriously. Roberts would go on to great fame for Jim Crockett Promotions as Baby Doll later in the decade, billed as Andrea the Lady Giant. The two would be involved in mixed tag bouts against Sunshine and Mike Von Erich. After briefly teaming with Jake the Snake Roberts, he rebooted the dynamic duo with Chris Adams after winning matches. The two, using their gold scissors, would cut the hair of their defeated opponents. This gimmick would later be used by Ed Leslie, whose most famous gimmick was Brutus the Barber Beefcake. But in October 1985, the tables were turned after losing a hair-versus-hair tag team match to Kevin and Kerry Von Erich. It was the dynamic duo that endured the haircut. Hernandez tried to escape his fate, but was tackled by Chris Von Erich before being shaved bald. The breakup of the dynamic duo would soon become the focal point of WCCW. 2 months later, Hernandez turned on Adams. The feud intensified in January of 1986 when Hernandez threw Freebird hair cream, which was a hair removal product, into the face of Adams. It was a write-off as Adams recently had gotten married and was going to spend time with his new wife, Tony, and his family in England. Hernandez was scheduled to compete in a pair of bouts for the following week, but Gino did not show up, and no phone calls were returned. Concerned with his well-being, on February 4th, 1986, two WCCW officials went to the apartment of Wolf, accompanied by several law enforcement. They found Wolf dead in his apartment, initially ruled a homicide. A later autopsy concluded his death was a result of a cocaine overdose 2 or 3 days prior to his body being found. Wolf was 28 years old. Wolf was a known cocaine user among WCCW wrestlers, and staff manager Gary Hart even tried to get him to kick the habit, though the conclusion was that it was a drug overdose and not a homicide. Many believe that a murder indeed took place. WCCW official David Manning said that Wolf had 3 times the amount of cocaine in his system that would kill a normal human being. In addition, Manning believes that foul play was involved, as Hernandez's death bolt was, his deadbolt was not locked. Wow. I never knew that. As Hernandez's deadbolt was not locked. Michael Hayes and Jake Roberts said in a 2016 interviews that Charles's involvement in the wrong crowd may have played a part in his death. Brutus Beefcake rejects the homicide theory, saying that Wolf was a notorious partier and had a serious drug problem. a pre-tape match scheduled for the February 15th broadcast involving Hernandez was pulled from air. Replacing it was the announcement of Gino's death from announcer Bill Mercer, and another pre-tape match in May of 1986, 4 months after Gino's passing, Chris Adams would win the World Class Heavyweight Championship. Wolf was married twice to Janice Bancroft. The couple married first from April of 1976 to January of 1977, then remarried from April 1978 to July of 1979. The couple had one child together. Jake Roberts said that Wolf was involved with the gay community in the Houston area. Let's see. We got one more here. 31 years ago today, NWA presented Superstars on the Superstation from the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia. Airing 5 days later on the TBS, the card presented dream matches as voted by the fans. A full 7-match card was presented at the arena, but only the latter half of the card aired on TV. Also appearing on the show in cameo appearances were singer Willie Nelson and former Major League Baseball pitcher Gaylord Perry. In a pre-show dark match, Ron Bass and the Barbarian fought to a draw. In a pre-show dark match, Baron Von Raschke defeated the Italian Stallion. In another pre-show dark match, Jimmy Valiant defeated Arn Anderson by disqualification. The Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey, defeated the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, to win the NWA World Tag Team Championships. The Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, defeated Ivan Koloff by disqualification. And Dusty Rhodes and Tully Blanchard fought a 20-minute time limit draw for the NWA National Heavyweight Championship. And Ric Flair defeated Ron Garvin to retain the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. And here's the full story on Brock Lesnar that was down a little farther than I noticed. 9 years ago today in Las Vegas, Nevada, former WWE and NCAA Heavyweight Champion Brock Lesnar makes his UFC debut at UFC 81. He loses via knee bar to Frank Mir in just 90 seconds. Lesnar took down Mir in the match's early moments, but one of those punches hit Mir in the back of the head, which is a no-no in mixed martial arts. That's a 1-point penalty. Lesnar took Mir down again, but Mir hooked a knee bar in, forcing Lesnar to submit.
Very cool, buddy.
So, I mean, there's a few good ones. I mean,
oh yeah.
We got two more short ones.
All righty. I'm actually heading into the gym here. How short are we talking?
Not as long as the other ones, like just maybe as long as the Lesnar one, these last two.
Okay.
7 years ago today in Memphis, Tennessee, Vince McMahon makes an appearance on ECW on Sci-Fi. He didn't come bearing good news, or maybe he did, depending on your view. He announced that the ECW on Sci-Fi would end later in the month, with a new groundbreaking original show to take its place. That show, NXT, would replace ECW on Sci-Fi on February 23rd, 1 week after its final episode. Well, so 7 years ago today, NXT was born. ECW came under criticism almost from the onset from fans of the original ECW, despite debuting to a 2.8 rating in 2006. Audiences quickly tuned out as the show would lose half of its audience within 6 months and would settle around 1.0 in its final month following the introduction of the new Superstar Initiative. NXT ECW's replacement rarely cracked above a 1.0 rating in the rating before the show was pulled from Sci-Fi after just 9 months. And to close out today in wrestling history, 3 years ago today, TNA taped One Night Only Joker Wilds 2 from the Barclay Card Arena, also formerly known as the National Indoor Arena in Birmingham, England. This show's hook is similar to the WCW event Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery, where wrestlers form makeshift teams to face off in qualifying matches for the show's main event, and over the top gauntlet battle royal for a winner take all prize of $100,000, or well, about $164,400 US at the time. The show was made available on pay-per-view to U.S. audiences on May 9th in a pre-show dark match. Gail Kim defeated Shiana in the qualifying matches, the British Invasion, Douglas Williams, and Magnus, Mickey James' husband, defeated Chris Sabin and Gunner. Bad Bones and Samoa Joe defeated Christopher Daniels and Robbie E. Bully Ray and Rockstar Spud defeated Austin Aries and Mr. Anderson. EC3, Ethan Carter III, friend of the show. And Kazarian defeats Curry Man and Eric Young. The Wolves, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards defeat Beer Money, Inc., Bobby Roode and James Storm. Jesse Goddard and Zima Ion defeated Abyss and Samuel Shaw. Madison Rain, ODB, Velvet Sky defeat Alpha Female, Gail Kim and Lady Topline in an elimination tag team match. And Joker's Wild Gauntlet Battle Royal, EC3, the Carter III, defeated Bad Bones, Bully Ray, Davey Richard, Douglas Williams, Eddie Edwards, Jesse Goddard, Kazarian, Magnus, Rockstar Spud, Samoa Joe, and Zima Ion to win the Gauntlet Battle Royal and win the $164,400 prize.
Very cool.
Well, how ironic. Today in wrestling history ends with EC3.
Oh, perfect. That's what I was just going to say. It's quite the historic day in wrestling, and, you know, I'll let you throw it over to everyone's favorite EC3. And, yeah, we'll be back again next week with Elimination Chamber prediction, so hopefully everyone enjoyed the show today and tuned in again next week. Subscribe, yeah. Like, comment, share, you freaking better. Check out the Jeff Bagwell interview, and always good stuff here on this.
Hey, I'm interested to see what you're going to bring up, man, for your predictions for Elimination Chamber, so I'm excited.
All right, buddy. We'll see you next week.
All right. Have a good workout at the gym.
Thanks, buddy. We will.
All right.
See ya.
See ya. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this has been a great episode of the podcast. I hope you all have enjoyed it as well. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this on over to Mr. EC3 to close us out of episode number 42, and then I'll see if Wags and I may do a podcast this weekend. If Wags and I pop on Saturday or something, I'll let you know. If Wags and I don't, then, you know, we'll see if we get Wags back on for like a Raw or SmackDown review. And as far as podcast, if I don't do one this weekend, then Sean and I will be back next week around the same time to do the Elimination Chamber prediction. So we just got to see how it all plays out, you know, what we're going to do. But definitely a fun show today, really fun show to, you know, really pick everything apart. And all this news with Seth Rollins is just, I just hope that everything turns out okay for Rollins. And, you know, this is just unfortunate, but we wish Seth Rollins the best. Let me pull up EC3 here for you guys. And then we're going to end episode number 42. It's been fun. It's been really, really fun, guys. And I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed myself. I know that. I know Sean did too. All right. So I'm getting this all set up for you guys here. All right, so now I got it all set up. Thank you guys for tuning in today for episode number 42 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. I might see you this weekend. If not, I'll see you on Monday for the Raw review, Tuesday for the SmackDown Live 205 Live review, And next week, probably Wednesday or Thursday, for another Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast with Sean, with the Elimination Chamber predictions and all that good stuff. So thank you very much for tuning in today, ladies and gentlemen. I really appreciate it. Like, comment, subscribe, like Sean said, and we'll talk to you all very soon. And I'm going to turn it on over right now to Mr. EC3, the two-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Ethan Carter III, to close us on out right here for episode number 42. And I will talk to you all very soon. Take care. Have a great day. Enjoy EC3. And we'll talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.
Hello, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.